Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Get select Ernie Ball strings, 3 for $10. Save $100 on a Fender Special Edition Strat, or get a Yamaha acoustic for just $199. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere that you can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends to subscribe. Check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network as well. If your company is interested in advertising to men between the ages of 18 and 54, then your company could be advertised right here on our show. Our audience is 95% men, and 78% of our audience is between the ages of 18 and 44. Recent surveys have shown that podcast listeners are 65% more likely to consider purchasing products they learned about from podcasts, and 60%, given equal price and quality, prefer to purchase from companies that advertise in their favorite podcasts. Our rates are reasonable, so email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com with any inquiries. Cody, we weren't planning on having a podcast today.
But it was a drama-filled Thursday for the Bulls. Social media in the middle of it, specifically Instagram, where Rajon Rondo, a night after Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade, called out Bulls teammates, primarily young Bulls teammates, for not caring enough about winning and about their craft and putting the effort in after the Bulls blew a 10-point lead to the Hawks on Wednesday night in the final 3 minutes. That's what sparked all of this. Rajon Rondo came off the top rope with an Instagram post, Sean. And I think the best way to do this is to just set it up and read it, and Sean's going to do that, but it does come with a picture of Rondo, Kevin Garnett, and Paul Pierce during their Celtics days together. You know he loved those guys. They won a 2008 championship together. Those are the veterans he most respects, and his post on Instagram in this emergency podcast for us, this call for an emergency, was clearly directed at Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade.
So here's what he says. He says, "My vets would never go to the media. They would come to the team. My vets didn't pick and choose when they wanted to bring it. They brought it every time they stepped in the gym, whether it was practice or a game. They didn't take days off. My vets didn't care about their numbers. My vets played for the team. When we lost, they wouldn't blame us. They took responsibility and got in the gym. They showed the young guys what it meant to work. Even in Boston, when we had the best record in the league, if you lost a game, you could hear a pin drop on the bus. They showed us the seriousness of the game. My vets didn't have an influence on the coaching staff. They couldn't change the plan because it didn't work for them. I played under one of the greatest coaches, and he held everyone accountable. It takes 1 through 15 to win, and when you isolate everyone, you can't win consistently. I may be a lot of things, but I'm not a bad teammate. My goal is to pass what I learned along. The young guys work. They show up. They don't deserve blame. If anything is questionable, it's the leadership."
End quote on that from Rajon Rondo.
Again, I just want to say I have another quick note about the Instagram post. I really enjoy how he, I think this was 100% intentional by him. There was Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett in the picture with him, not Ray Allen. I think that was very much on purpose.
Yes.
Because those two did not get along.
Probably. And you know Rondo had his days butting heads in Boston, but he respected, I think, the process, professionalism, and honesty that was there. Obviously referenced one of the greatest coaches ever. He played for Doc Rivers.
There was a little bit of more Hoiberg shade than the first couple of times I read through it.
But I mean, again, this is just fighting fire with fire. Casey Johnson of the Tribune reported through sources that when Rondo was informed of Dwayne Wade's post-game comments on Wednesday night, which we should point out came with a few teammates in the locker room, but I did not see Rondo in at the time. I think he'd already dressed and left. But Casey reported that when Rondo was informed, he responded, "Dwayne shouldn't have said that," which is just like a great setup, you know, for like what's to come. Oh boy, where's the powder keg here gonna go? And I mean, he exploded. And look, the Bulls signed Rajon Rondo, and they miscalculated on the basketball fit. You know what they miscalculated more on?
What?
Overlooking the fact that he might call all of their BS, which he has done like no one else before. I mean, this is unheard of, Sean. Before this happened this morning, I was talking to a few coworkers at 6 a.m. Score. So guys, some some older guys who have been around a long time in the area who talk to people too, their buddies, and they're like, I can't even remember teammates in Chicago sports history. Only on a couple occasions could they remember teammates over the past several decades calling other teammates out like Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade did. And now Rondo has just taken it a step further. I mean, he's thrown gasoline on this fire. He's not going to be a Bull much longer, I don't think. But I guess initial question, good on Rondo, bad on Rondo, good on Jimmy and D-Wade the night before, bad on them? Like, who's right, who's wrong here? It's a dumpster fire.
I think nobody is fully right in this whole thing, but I think Rondo is more right than anybody else. Because this whole thing is a mess, and he's absolutely right that it's a mess. I will say it's kind of ironic that he's going after his teammates for calling them out in the media by doing a social media post. That part is a little bit hypocritical, but the substance of what he says is not...
I understand why you say hypocritical there, but that thought, like... That feels like it's number 898 on the list.
Right. Now there's a lot of
what matters here. You know what I mean?
There are a lot of people who we can blame any of this on.
And I think Rajon Rondo's played his last minute ever for the Bulls. Don't you?
Yes, I think so.
And you can't suspend him, because if you suspend him, that's a double standard of suspending him and not D-Wade and Jimmy when they did the same thing first. But I don't know. You can't have him around the team now. You send him home until you cut him. There's no trade market. You'd have to be an idiot to trade for Rondo at this point, knowing he's going to get cut and can't... He can't literally, physically be in the same room with his teammates anymore, can he?
I don't know.
Is he going to show up his shoot around on Friday morning?
We'll find out. I will be there. We'll ask.
I'm going to go too. I mean, when it gets this wild, I escape the office to go get what is usually otherwise meaningless pregame quotes often at home shoot arounds there. But... this screams, first of all, for John Paxson or Gar Foreman to come out and talk. Well, actually, Pax. I don't want to hear from Gar Foreman on this, because he twists words too much, he lies, he makes claims that don't matter, he changes the subject. This is something that needs someone to be direct and honest, and I think the only person in the organization that can do this right now for the Bulls is Pax. I don't see anyone else. If Jerry Reinsdorf wants to say something, great. If Michael Reinsdorf wants to say something, great. The only way Jerry usually speaks is through statements, which are currently we're not aware of one being crafted at this point as we tape about 7 p.m. on Thursday night. But someone has to step up and be an adult, because this has turned into a disaster that I don't think in our wildest dreams we could have seen it devolving to this. We thought there would be a lot of shade thrown.
We thought it would be a bad basketball fit, but we thought that maybe there'd be a little bit of off-court drama. But and here's the thing with the Rondo stuff from today, and we've talked about this a million times, and his teammates have talked about it too. Throughout all this stuff, he's been totally professional. He hasn't been, you know, he hasn't been a problem in the locker room. He hasn't really, you know, gone after guys. You know, he's maybe said some stuff about how Hoiberg wasn't communicating with him, but I think that was as much on Hoiberg as it was on anybody else, because Rondo just kind of tells it like it is.
Yeah, and we need to get into this divide a little bit between Dwayne Wade, veteran, Jimmy Butler, franchise player, star of the team, and these young guys in the locker room, because as we pointed out on our podcast Wednesday night, after the Bulls blew that game and collapsed against the Hawks, Jaren Grant was tweeting things to the nature of, you know, it's more than a paycheck for me. It's like blood, sweat, and tears. My guts, I want to win, all that good stuff. Chris Felicio and Bobby Portis, two of the young guys, liked the Instagram post, correct?
Yes, and more importantly, so did Dwayne Wade.
Which, who knows what that
is. I feel like that was definitely passive-aggressive.
Yes, we'll certainly have to ask
which,
him at some point.
Which, I mean, he learned the passive-aggressive thing from his Banana Boat squad buddy.
Yeah, and it needs to be noted that Rondo is close with some of these young guys in a way that the other Bulls veterans aren't, because he got signed in early July to the Bulls and immediately showed
up
at Summer League.
He's been there
gone to watch games in Hoffman Estates for the Windy City Bulls at least once to be around Paul Zipser and I don't know
and
if
it was
another
Bobby
Bull,
Portis.
Bobby Portis.
Bobby was the one that asked him to come and he did.
Oh, okay. That's really cool.
And Rondo was also at Summer League, like sitting on the bench with the young guys on the team, just basically giving them advice during timeouts and trying to be a good influence. And he's You know, and from people I've talked to in the organization, on and off the record, they'll all tell you he's been great, except for the one incident that they where he threw the towel at Jim Boylan. Misplaced the towel around Jim
Boylan. Displaced, yeah, whatever. That's not the drama du jour of the day any longer. That was so 2016, the towel throwing. Now we just fire shots on social media. And I mean, he says, quote, "The young guys work, they show up, they don't deserve the blame." He's directly refuting what Jimmy and D-Wade said on Wednesday.
And to be fair, you know what? Like, I obviously am not around these guys 24/7. I'm not watching them in practice. I don't know who is and isn't working. But I have not gotten the impression that there's any of these young guys who are, you know, slacking or mailing it in practice. I've never gotten that impression from anybody.
Yeah, I think the prism through which it might be viewed, I would say at least from Jimmy Butler's perspective, is that, and I think this, you can see this in various jobs and industries in life, but Jimmy Butler probably does work as hard as anyone in the NBA, maybe.
Yeah.
And you can work hard and still not work as hard as Jimmy Butler, and maybe some of this stems from that. He's seeing they're not performing and being as successful as he wants, helping him as much, and he thinks they could be doing more just as much as he does. I mean, a guy that does 3-a-day workouts and gets up at 5 a.m. in the summer, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
These are facts on the Jimmy Butler front there. So maybe he sees that a little bit. That doesn't excuse the words he had the other night. I find this interesting. So I posted the video of Jimmy Butler calling out his teammates and saying they don't effing care enough. And he wants to play with guys that are more invested in winning for the organization there. And, I mean, it just got hundreds and hundreds of responses on social media. And last night and into this morning, all the feedback I got, and tell me what you thought, Sean, just listening to everyone talk about it and seeing the internet, emails, sports talk radio, all of that. Like, everyone was like, oh, yeah, good for Jimmy and Dwayne, you know what I mean? Like, they stood up, like, they're reflecting what the fan base believes in now.
That's a lot of what I got.
They're working really hard, and others aren't stepping up, and it's good to see them call them out. And now it's like, oh, holy hell, Rondo just came again off the top rope, back at him, and people are like, whoa, good for Rajon Rondo. It's almost like, I don't know where the people are taking sides now in this, you know what I mean?
Because there's no clear right and wrong side in any of this.
Well, first of all, everybody's wrong. This is the absolute worst way this could have been handled. Absolutely the worst. And I'll say, I don't remember if I said this on the podcast on Wednesday night or not, but for a team that's been as inconsistent as the Bulls, for a team that has lacked the mental fortitude to step up and be consistent on a daily basis and implement what their coach is saying and get on the same page, what on earth made you think that calling them out in the media, a team that some outsiders, Chris, call the Bulls soft, you know, it's like how they go about these inconsistencies.
Right.
What made you think someone who had displayed those traits all season long, these young guys, how was that approach through the media and trashing them in a way that's rarely seen in the NBA, in a sports landscape, anywhere? How was that going to help them step up and play better and light a fire? Again, I understand where Jimmy's coming from because the words he'd been saying, everything they'd done to date hadn't worked. They were 500, then lost on Wednesday night to fall one game below in just embarrassing fashion with that late collapse. So I understand he thought, do something different. But that way, that's I don't see how that works. And now Rondo's come back and called BS on it. And I mean, this is just phenomenal how much he's just called BS this year on this organization.
I mean, he's called it's BS incredible. On everything. He called BS on their initial reasons for benching him. He called BS on Hoiberg claiming that he told him why he benched him. He basically said, ha, that's a good one, when asked if he was ever going to start again. And I think that's doubly true now.
The question now is, are you ever going to be in the same room as a teammate again? Would probably be a Bulls teammate again. Would probably, I guess, be the best question at this point. But again, this has just devolved so terribly. We need to note too, Casey Johnson of the Trib reported that some of Wade and Butler's frustrations, in addition to being directed at Nico Mirotic, some was also directed at Michael Carter Williams, who today retweeted a Rajon Rondo tweet that quoted Martin Luther King. And it was MLK's quote that said, The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. Rondo tweeted that more than a week ago, tied around the MLK Day holiday. Michael Carter Williams retweeted it on Thursday, after the drama of D-Wade Butler and Rajon Rondo and everything. So Michael Carter Williams thinks the measure of a man is how you respond to controversy, and I don't think he liked how Wade and Butler responded to controversy. So the number of individuals upset in the organization, just in the locker room among the players, Sean, seems to be mounting, and there's no turning back from this. This is, you can't overcome this. You can't have a normal working environment for the rest of the year.
This is, I mean, we have been talking forever about how, like, this, you know, this team is not good enough, and like something needs to change. They need to make some changes to the deadline. Their hand is kind of forced now.
I mean, you can't trade everyone, so there's going to be awkwardness at some point. There's no doubt about that. But I just, like, Rondo's got to go. I mean, he can't be around Butler and Wade anymore. I don't see how.
Right.
But, I mean, again, if Grant, Michael Carter-Williams, Portis, and Felicio are all of the same belief, I'm guessing Denzel Valentine and, I don't know, Doug McDermott's boys with Jimmy Butler, obviously, but he's been an underwhelming youngster this year as well.
Isaiah Cannon feels about it too. Hashtag yeah. Free sip.
So, yes, did he leave that post up, or I think he might have deleted it or something, but he certainly on Wednesday night, after the D-Wade and Jimmy blow up, said that teams win and lose together. So
yeah.
not 2-12 as it seemed to be Wednesday. And now it's like 2-1 on 11 bystanders who are kind of joining, I guess, Team Rondo maybe. And here you go. You're going to have Taj Gibson, one of the most respected players on the team.
Taj is just like, I'm out of here.
He's probably going to get traded in a month. But I mean, like, how do the Bulls move forward with, I mean, like, Michael Carter-Williams and Bobby Portis needing to go out there and play basketball with Jimmy Butler when he trashed them?
You know,
and Nico's still out there. And
I think they can get past that stuff. I think those guys can get past it more so than the Rondo stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
those guys are young. Those guys don't really have the clout to say, I don't want to play with Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade anymore. Like, those guys do not have, like, a solid enough.
I'm saying, though, it's going to be awkward.
Of course it's going to be awkward, but it's
no one likes to go to work in an awkward working environment.
No, but it happens.
Hey, friendly reminder. There are 35 Bulls games left on the schedule, and as far as I know, they have to play them all to get the revenue and to make sure Adam Silver's not pissed off. And I have no idea. Like, you can't keep Rondo around because that's like 70 more opportunities to call BS on everything, obviously. But this raises questions too. I mean, just the part where Rajon Rondo says they couldn't overrule the offense or what the coach said in Boston. My vets couldn't. He's saying Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade have no respect for Fred Hoiberg. And Hoiberg, who knows? Like, I don't even think the Bulls. Word of PR advice for the Bulls, you can't trot Fred Hoiberg out there at shoot-around to answer for this first on Friday morning. Assuming there's shoot-around, which there should be, but I mean, it might be in the Bulls' best interest to cancel shoot-around and buy themselves 7 or 8 more hours to get on the same page as an organization, get Gar Foreman and John Paxson to the Advocate Center, to the United Center, wherever they need to talk. Because if you send Fred out there, he's just been emasculated by his players. You know that?
Everybody knows that he has no control over the locker room. Has he ever had control over the locker room?
No.
I think from day one.
Yeah, there were some periods where it was a lot quieter than this. Certainly, this is the most disastrous spin. So someone in management has to step up and take ownership of this team. Or it's executive malpractice at this point.
Okay, but what I would say to that is that what incentive do Gar and Pax have to speak out about this? Are they going to lose their jobs anytime soon? Do they have any accountability with ownership?
That's a good point, too. But what incentive? I mean, the train is so far off the rails at this point, and you are doing a disservice. I mean, at this point, you're doing a disservice to your young guys, too, not to step up and say something. So you want to talk about getting younger and more athletic And this is the environment you put these young guys in that you're entrusted with putting in the best position to succeed and win. You want to talk about that? You have to protect them when they're basically getting bombed on something they don't have a lot of control on. And one veteran in the locker room, a proud guy in Rajon Rondo, saying they are putting the work in. Two others aren't. Management needs to step in and say they are putting the work in. Or maybe they need to step in and say they aren't putting enough work in. I don't see them going there. But they need to come with something. Because you're not doing your future any help, any favors, if you allow this to just go unaddressed. Someone has to address it to put the lingering effects. Like, this is going to linger. There is no doubt it's going to linger no matter what, but it's going to be worse if they don't address it. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. No, I think you're totally right. I think in another organization, we would maybe see the front office actually come out and, you know, and talk about this. But, you know, Gar and Pat's only talk two or three times a year. They'll talk when, you know, they'll talk on draft night. They'll talk at the season-ending press conference after they don't make the playoffs.
Extenuating circumstance. Your organization is crashing and burning.
Well, we'll see if they actually do it. Okay. If I had to guess, I think they don't talk tomorrow.
Okay. I mean, that's how it always is. But, I mean, if... Like, I feel like we've been so close to them talking to the point where they almost have to, even though they never want... This is different than Jeff Van Gundy yelling at them. This is different than just struggles. This is different than, you know, national reports saying Tom Thibodeau's upset. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, this is playing out in public, and you put these young guys in this position, and you sign these two alphas. Shout out to the alpha, three alphas moniker, nickname. Well,
shout out to Rondo for coming up with that. That's immortal.
That is great. But okay, well, what's the best approach Bulls management can take to address this? What they should do, if they want to do it, they should do it at shoot around. If they're going to shoot around and have everyone gather on Friday morning, so they need to talk. By NBA rules, the coach and players have to talk at shoot around or be available to talk. If they don't have shoot around, they could wait till closer to game time when they host. I think it's the Heat on Friday night. Like,
yep,
this is lost.
It is the Miami Heat.
It's lost in all of this chaos. So management, hold up. We got to get to the point. What's the best thing they can do? They need to come out. Don't send Hoiberg out to talk. Say, we're talking. Number one, they need to say what Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade said on Wednesday night was not appropriate. But they understood the frustrations to a degree, and everyone needs to pitch in and step up in that regard. They need to say Rajon Rondo's response wasn't appropriate either, but we understand why he did it. We are now facilitating an exit with him and his agent that's in the best interest of everyone involved, because we cannot put up with this toxic environment around our younger players. And then they need to answer all the questions that are asked, and they need us to shed some light on how hard are these young players actually working, and how you can actually expect them to respect Jimmy Butler and Jimmy Butler to respect them after all of this. Shine some light on that. But at this point, you got to say, like, we're not going to have Rondo on the team anymore. You have to admit it was a disaster. You got to go out there.
I agree with you. That's what should happen. I think exactly none of that is going to happen.
I don't know why I get paid to write when I should give PR advice for the Bulls or something. Like, it's amazing that they don't see this. And that's throwing shade at the Bulls front office and management. That's not speaking at all to the Bulls PR staff.
No, we
like their butt off and do a great job. But, like, how do you get in this exec? How do you even ascend to an executive role when you put up with this BS? Like, this is like 101. This can't happen. You have to say something. You have to do something. And I mean, at this point, it's just, I mean, this is building. I think we said this the other night. This could have happened after the Kings game if they hadn't won.
Like, and if they had won the Hawks game and then they lost, like, the Heat or the Sixers game, this would have happened after that game.
Could have happened, yeah. And this Friday night could have happened this Sunday. I mean, what angles here are we still missing? I mean, they're running right. Jimmy, we already said, we need to follow up too. I don't think we talked enough about Jimmy ignoring Fred Hoiberg's advice to not take the timeout. Wednesday night was a blur. I didn't get a chance to watch all the replays till Thursday morning, the morning after the game here. But with 58 seconds left and the Bulls down two, Dwight Howard at the free throw line, Fred Hoiberg clearly was signaling for timeout on the sidelines.
And Jimmy just looked at him like, what, are you crazy?
Jimmy's reaction was a frown. He said, what? No. Dwight Howard then missed the ensuing free throw. Mirotić acted like he wanted to call timeout. Jimmy Butler was yelling at him, give me the ball. Nico gave Jimmy the ball. Jimmy dribbled down the court, and I believe that was his bank shot to tie it at 112 before the Hawks went on to win. I'm pretty sure that's kind of like direct insubordination.
Yeah.
By the way. I don't know. My bosses make suggestions sometimes, and sometimes they make requirements. So we'd have to ask Fred if it was a suggestion or a requirement on the timeout front. But Fred denied in the post-game press conference, and this is where he gets himself twisted up to. Casey Johnson asked him directly, what was your plan with that timeout? It appeared Nico wanted to call timeout, and Jimmy had been frowning or whatnot. And Fred said something along the lines of, no, we wanted to save that last timeout, which is funny because it wasn't even their last timeout. They had two, so I don't know if he was slightly confused by how many timeouts they actually had, or if it actually, he was just saying that in the quote, you know, a little liberally or whatever, and it didn't mean anything. And that, but,
and if they trot Fred out there tomorrow to talk to us at Shoot Around, and I fully expect them to do that. They're doing him such a disservice because he's in over his head. This is like he just doesn't know how to control the locker room. Like,
well, I don't think it's the coach's job to answer for a toxic signing by management that is playing out like many expected. You agree?
I absolutely agree. And this is, like, they're just kind of letting him, you know, absorb all of this, and, you know, because he's such an easy target because, you know, just, you know, his personality, he's such an easy scapegoat, you know, compared, you know, with the tension that he's had with Jimmy in the past, with the coach's harder stuff, and then all this other stuff, and then Rondo basically calling him out partially in this Instagram post. But, yeah, the front office has to talk tomorrow. They won't, but they have to.
This is, okay, I mean, we can dissect Fred Hoiberg's personality all we want, but this is not what he signed up for.
No.
Like, if they didn't have this volatile locker room mix and some alpha personalities, this would all work much better, all his coaching plan. If they just put a roster together that fit Hoiberg's system a little more, that could find a little bit more success, I don't think we'd have all these problems. So, certainly Fred has had his shortcomings on what I view as some communication issues this year. They don't seem to be good enough at out-of-timeout plays. Those always seem to be a disaster. My eyes tell me that, and people that are a lot smarter that write about that stuff tell me that as well. So there are things to pin on him, and you wish he controlled the locker room better. I don't know the way this played out, what he could have done. It's not like he could keep playing the three alphas together. That wasn't working. They were just getting spanked on the court when that happened. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, so once he sent Rondo to the bench, this was probably all inevitable, was it not?
I think so.
And again, it's something else that a basketball fit everyone saw is probably playing out poorly, is playing off worse off the court, the locker room drama in the headline. They are the laughing stock of the entire NBA.
Which is saying a lot, considering that this is also a league that has the New York Knicks and the Sacramento Kings in it.
Yes. I think ESPN just ran a big article entitled something about Boogie Cousins. Like,
is he
dysfunctional because he plays for the Kings, or the Kings dysfunctional for him because he's the most dysfunctional player on the most dysfunctional team in the NBA? Like, poor timing for that ESPN article, because the Bulls are making a hard, strong run for that number one spot. It appears.
Hey, if they overpass the Kings in dysfunction, does that mean that they get the pick?
The pick swap based on a vote of the people who's more dysfunctional. That would be incredible. Like, that would be a race to the wire, like 50-50.
I'm so excited. Like,
too close to count. We'd need a revote, a recount, whatever they call that. But, I think we touched on most aspects of this. I mean, just to be clear, Rajon Rondo doesn't agree with the leadership of Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade. He basically insinuates that they don't listen to Fred Hoiberg whatsoever at all, and this wouldn't have happened with his vets in a better-run organization. So other than torching every layer of the organization, basically,
it wasn't that,
besides the young players,
it wasn't that harsh.
Yeah, it wasn't that harsh except for torching management, the coach, and the star players.
Other than that, I think it was pretty mild.
I guess we'll keep an eye out for the retweets, the Instagram likes, The Snapchats, as of right now, Snapchat's dark for the Bulls
no
players.
No Snapchat.
No Snapchat reactions that we've seen. And I have no... Is this rock bottom? Can it still get worse?
In the words of a story that one of our colleagues told about another player, there's still 35 games left in the season.
Yes. If Rondo stays around, it could still get worse because you could have this on a more regular basis because you don't do this and back down. And trust me, he's not scared. He is not scared. What, he doesn't have anything to lose at this point either because I would guess behind all this, the Bulls, if they'd had an offer in the past couple weeks, they would have moved him immediately. If they could have got anything of value, any asset, anything mildly helpful for the future whatsoever that reduced some of the money and compensation financial burden they have on Rondo, they would have done it. That obviously didn't happen in recent weeks. Rondo, I'm sure, is well aware that there's no market for him.
Uh-huh.
And now if he goes scorched earth, there's really nothing to lose because, I mean, he can force himself out, I guess, of Chicago. And he's still going to get his $14 million this year.
Still getting his $14
million. $3 million he's probably guaranteed.
Still
going to
wind up on the Cleveland Cavaliers after he gets bought out?
No. I don't think the Cavs can even handle this level of drama. And that's saying a lot because they get it. Did you see? Ty Lue was quoted on Thursday as saying, I hate this. And he meant all the drama surrounding the Cavs. The Cavs have championship problems. I would love to know Fred Hoiberg's unvarnished thoughts on whether he hates this, because he's dealing with bickering problems with, he said, she said, for a mediocre 500 team, and it's getting nasty. And I think we just went 31 minutes on that podcast, and like, it's getting nasty. We're firing back and forth. I don't think, there was no exaggeration in here. This is one of the most embarrassing episodes, I think, between teammates in Chicago sports history. Everyone in the locker room has been called out at this point besides Taj Gibson, I think. Basically.
Yeah, I think everyone loves Taj.
Everyone loves Taj. Shout out to Taj for the utmost professionalism. We are greatly appreciative of your honesty, your positivity, and at this point, you're probably better off getting traded by February 23rd because the Bulls are an abject disaster.
Taj does not deserve this.
On Thursday. January 20, what is it?
February 23rd.
No, I was saying the Bulls are an abject disaster on January 26th. And we'll see how the coming days play out. So we'll be at Shoot Around. Assuming the Bulls have one, not yet scheduled, I would expect it like normal because you still got to get your pregame 10 a.m. jumpers up in the morning, shake those cobwebs out to get ready for the big game against the Miami Heat. I think everyone on the whole Heat team is out basically besides Hassan Whiteside, who's questionable. So I don't know the five people that will take the court for the Heat, but if the Bulls are still bickering at each other, the Heat should probably still have a good opportunity to win. So hopefully someone from Bulls management, maybe by the time you listen to this on Friday, might have already spoken. We'll keep you updated on that. As always, follow Sean on Twitter at Hiken, myself at Cody Westerland. Follow Lockdown Bulls on Twitter at Lockdown Bulls. Same name on Facebook if that's how you like to navigate to the podcast. Email us at lockdownbulls@gmail.com. If you have PR advice for the Bulls, feel free to send it there. Always welcome to pass that along on our podcast. Your comments and your questions, we always appreciate your contributions. And what? Subscribe, follow us.
Yeah, you should hit subscribe. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere you can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, leave us a 5-star review, tell your friends to subscribe, check out the other podcasts in the Locked On Podcast Network for all your NBA and NFL needs, and we will be back with you guys soon. Thanks for listening.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.